Welcome to the deep dive. This is where we take really detailed source material, the dense notes that an entire industry is built on, and we distill it all down.
Right, into the essential knowledge you need to stay ahead.
And today we're tearing down the definitions of the foundational products that really underpin all of modern media.
And we're not just talking about what a website or an ebook is. I mean, you already know that. We're getting into the strategic reasons the industry classifies them into these distinct categories.
Yeah, we're talking websites, multimedia products, ebooks, and then immersive content like VR and AR.
Exactly.
The sources we're pulling from today are these really comprehensive industry revision guides. So our mission is to understand the defining technical details, the things that govern how these products engage users, how they promote content, and maybe most importantly,
how they drive sales, but in completely different ways.
Right. And we're really trying to answer one core question. Why does the industry still insist on these separate definitions when it feels like everything is just converging online?
That's the perfect place to start. That primary battleground.
Yeah.
The difference between content delivered over the internet and content you have to install.
Okay, so if you strip away all the branding and the design, a website is fundamentally defined by its content, text, images, graphics, and its delivery, which is primarily via the internet.
And that delivery method, that's its superpower.
It is.
I'd say it's more than just a superpower. It's a non-negotiable strategic choice.
Mm-hmm.
When you deliver over the internet, you get scalability. You get global accessibility just instantly.
Which is why it's the go-to tool for promotion.
It's the universal tool. If you want everyone everywhere to know about your film or your game or your book, it has to live on a website.
Okay, so let's unpack this tension right away, because that brings us straight to the multimedia product.
Right.
These things use the exact same media assets, text, images, video, sound, but the source notes make this one crucial distinction.
And what's that?
They're delivered via programs installed on computers.
And this is where the definition starts to feel, I guess, a little bit old school, but it's still absolutely essential for understanding proprietary content.
So why is that? Why the distinction?
Well, when you choose to deliver something as an installed program instead of a website, you're making a choice. You're choosing control, stability, and, often offline functionality over that immediate global access.
So we're talking about things like specialized educational tools, maybe,
right,
or high-end professional software where the publisher has to guarantee performance.
Exactly. They can't rely on a spotty internet connection. It's about proprietorship and function. A website is for broad consumption. An installed product implies a dedicated, a proprietary, or a specific functional experience.
Like complex design software or something.
A perfect example. Or extensive self-contained interactive manuals. The core technical definition really hinges on whether the user has to delete and install a dedicated executable file to use it.
And the building blocks, the media assets themselves, they're shared across both. The sources list them out clearly. Photographs, video, film, sound, audio, music, podcasts.
The list is huge. It really highlights the sheer breadth of what a media product can be.
Yeah.
And crucially, you have to include the functional graphics in that.
The buttons, the menus.
Yeah, the infrastructure elements, the things that guide the user experience. They are media assets, but they aren't the content itself,
And the sources also remind us about specialized assets, things like PDFs. They're used for ebooks and brochures, and they kind of blur the lines even more.
They do, because they're files. But they often rely on dedicated reading software to make sure they display correctly. It's this constant battle between the file format, the delivery method, and the software you need to view it.
This takes us seamlessly to the really heavy-hitting platforms that use both internet delivery and installed apps, social media.
Mm-hmm.
Their defining feature, beyond just connecting people, is that reliance on user-generated content, photos, text, videos.
And that user content is what powers the whole ecosystem, which leads directly to the business model.
Advertising.
Of course. Since social media relies on massive scale and constant engagement, they're almost universally funded by ads. They need that seamless, fast internet delivery to just constantly refresh the feed and track engagement.
Which is why the app is so central to all this. Apps are installed onto our smartphones, our tablets, our smart TVs. It's the delivery mechanism that makes it all portable and immediate.
And that's true for everything, right? Whether it's games, shopping, navigation, office work, or social media itself. The moment that experience is optimized and installed on a dedicated portable device, it becomes an app.
This focus on device installation is actually the perfect bridge to our next section.
where we talk about products that are defined entirely by creating a dedicated environment.
This is where it gets really strategic. We're moving from just viewing content to, well, to actually inhabiting it. We're talking immersive content, specifically VR and AR.
And what's fascinating here is how the technical difference dictates the entire user experience and therefore what it can be used for.
So let's start with virtual reality, VR.
VR is defined by replacement. It creates an entirely computer-generated world. You are completely 100% cut off from your physical surroundings.
You are literally stepping into a fabricated space. It's a clean slate for the creator.
Contrast that with augmented reality, or AR. AR is all about integration. It uses real-world footage, and then it superimposes digitally created graphics on top of it.
So you still see your reality, but it's enhanced.
Exactly, enhanced.
And the strategic value of AR, it seems, is that it can solve real-world problems, not just provide escapism. Mm. The sources have some great examples.
Like Snapchat.
Yeah, think about Snapchat adding those overlays onto your face in real time. It's fun, but it's still augmenting a real image.
Or the whole Pokemon Go phenomenon, superimposing digital characters onto real-world places.
Mm.
But I think the most economically relevant example is the one about interior decoration.
IKEA Place. Yeah. Right?
You use your phone's camera, you capture your room, and the app lets you digitally place a piece of furniture in that space to see if it fits.
That is AR fundamentally driving commerce. It's removing uncertainty for the buyer.
And that seamless integration into commerce is the key strategic insight here.
Right.
VR is amazing for training, for gaming, for escapism. AR is instantly applicable to retail, navigation, service industries.
And speaking of gaming, we have to acknowledge digital games as sort of the original immersive media product.
Absolutely. They're designed purely to entertain, and they're played on everything from dedicated consoles and PCs all the way down to your phone.
And here we see that same tension again, right? The installed versus internet delivered thing creeping back in.
It is. Games were traditionally the very definition of installed software. But now...
Now some are played entirely via the internet on websites or cloud services. The sources cite Google Stadia as the prime example.
And that example perfectly illustrates the future challenge. If a game is run entirely on a server hundreds of miles away and just streamed to your screen, is it still an installed multimedia product? Or is it functionally just a website?
The definitions are definitely under threat.
They are.
Okay, let's pivot. Let's talk about a product that is defined entirely by its specialized technology, which in turn imposes some very strict boundaries on the content. Let's talk about the ebook.
The ebook is such a great case study. It's a dedicated reading product. Publishers chose a very specific technology ink to solve a very specific problem.
And what was that problem?
They wanted the convenience of digital media, but without the drawbacks of a typical backlit screen. Eye strain, glare, all of that.
And the strategic insight here isn't just that it reflects light like paper. It's that the specialized e-ink screen dramatically reduces eye strain and uses incredibly low power.
That's the trade-off. You can read for hours on a beach or on a long flight without fatigue or needing to find a plug socket.
But that low power, high comfort trade-off comes with limitations.
Big limitations. The screen usually keeps things simple, black and white. And this specificity dictates its entire market. Ebooks are best suited for novels, long-form text, where readability is everything.
But because of those restricted screen capabilities, monochrome, lower refresh rate ebooks are, well, they're terrible for magazines or heavily illustrated books.
They just don't work. A magazine is defined by its complex, fixed layout and its high-fidelity color. The layout is the product. A flexible monochrome e-ink screen just can't deliver that experience.
So publishers are forced back towards fixed layout PDFs or, again, dedicated installed apps for that kind of rich media.
It's a beautiful example of how the constraints of the technology define the content you can deliver and therefore the market you can serve.
And just for context, we can't forget the original paper-based products at the other end of the spectrum.
Right. Comics and graphic novels.
Comics are structured a bit like magazines, while graphic novels are more like illustrated books. They're defined by being physical, by being fixed.
And the notes remind us that while, you know, graphic novels often feature superhero stories aimed at young people, they can also contain really sophisticated adult themes. They're a whole separate category.
Whose strategic value is in collectability, in the tangible reading experience.
So we've covered the whole landscape, from the simple website to the immersive VR world and the very specialized e-ink reader.
So what does this all mean? We've seen that the media industry really organizes itself around these four major product definitions.
And those definitions are based on critical, technical, and strategic differences.
Exactly. Global internet access for websites, proprietary installation for multimedia, total immersion for VR and AR,
and specialized tech for focused reading, like ebooks. The industry relies on this specialization. Each product solves a different business problem: promotion, proprietary function, experiential delivery, or just minimizing user fatigue.
We've spent this whole deep dive reinforcing how products are defined by how they are delivered.
Right, via the internet, via installed programs, or via specialized hardware.
This focus on the delivery mechanism, it leaves us with a really vital, provocative question for you to think about going forward.
In a future that's dominated by cloud computing and high-speed internet, where massive software like games on Google Stadia is streamed and run remotely, and advanced websites can function flawlessly offline,
how long will that technical distinction between an installed program, the core of what a multimedia product is, and an internet-delivered product, how long will that remain relevant to the bottom line?
Is function about to completely conquer the delivery method?
It's the tension between the product category of yesterday and the service model of tomorrow. And that tension, it's going to continue to shape every single investment decision in the media space.
Indeed. We look forward to seeing how these definitions shift.
That is all the time we have for this deep dive. Thank you for joining us as we unpacked the essential products of the digital media world.